Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The race for the Republican nomination for the Iowa Senate seat in District 14 is heating up. Let's go in depth with candidates Amy Sinclair from Allerton and Steve Everly from Knoxville. The third candidate, Stephanie Jones of Knoxville, was unable to attend this meeting. She'll be profiled in tomorrow's In Depth. Well, Amy, tell us a little bit about yourself. Maybe 2-3 minutes.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity. My name is Amy Sinclair. I'm running for the State Senate seat 14 here. I am a wife of Boyd Sinclair and mother of Evan Mitchell and Carter. I currently serve on the Wayne County Board of Supervisors. And in that position, that's really what has prompted me to want to be involved in state government, because in that position, I took an oath of office. And when I took that oath of office, I committed to uphold the Constitution of the State of Iowa, and by virtue of that, the Constitution of the United States of America. And those two documents are the framing of government here in Iowa, and I hold those to be very essential. They are documents that outline right and wrong, that tell us what is best for society. And I see that as the role of whether it's a supervisor or a senator. I see the role of that position to set up governance within the framework of right and wrong that was outlined in our constitutions, and I take that very seriously. In addition to that, I believe that based on those that all people are endowed by their creator with personal liberty, and essentially that's the right for us to be left alone to some degree. And so I believe in smaller government. I believe in taking taxes and fees, only what is necessary for that functioning within the framework of right and wrong.
And you have some agricultural background as well.
I do. My husband and I have a 60-head cow-calf operation that we work with my husband's parents on a 123-year family farm. And I also serve as the business office manager for a local grain elevator. So I get to see what taxes and regulation do, not only to a personal business, but also to a private business that employs other people.
And Steve, tell us a little bit about your background.
I have 5 kids. They range from the age of 29 to soon to be 21, my youngest. My wife and I have been emergency foster care parents. We were, for this application, a place that kids that were picked up in abusive situation could come for sometimes a week, 2 weeks, sometimes just a couple of days to try to get them settled down and move them on. We were also what's called, for people that had foster kids, we were respite care, so that the people that had foster care kids could drop them off at our place, and we would take care of them for the weekend or a week so they could get away. I went to school to become an electronics tech and engineer, and decided to end up being a lineman. I have worked as an electrician for almost 39 years, one form or another. My wife and I have run a company called Everly Electric for about 28, 29 years. We had a name change to Arden Lighting Group. I've had to fight government for almost every day I've been in business. I have been fighting regulations. I have fighting involvement in my personal lives. I have become a constitutionalist. Always thought I was, but I have studied it greatly. Understand the principles of the founders. I am looking to take all my experiences in and out of dealing with government to the State House to make some major changes in direction. I have been asked, as a junior senator, what I could accomplish. And I said, if I needed to be the only person standing, I will stand for the right. And I believe in personhood amendment for the right to life. It's in our Declaration of Independence. Without life, no other rights exist. I would like to see major changes in all the departments. Right now, we have what's called administrative law. I would like to see the end of all administrative law. It should be passed by the Senate and the Congress and signed into law by the governor. And not to have administrators make up rules and regulations we all have to live by.
More in depth after this. Continued my conversation with two candidates for the Iowa Senate seat in District 14, Amy Sinclair and Steve Everly. We ran a poll the other day asking our listeners and those that go view our website if the Iowa legislature did a good job this session. And I forget the exact details, but I only think like 20% of people thought that our legislators did a good job. What makes you think that you could do a good job for the people of the district? What makes you different from current sitting legislators?
The difference that I bring to the legislature is the fact that I'm a businessman, that I have been suffering under their rules, their regulations. I bring a common sense approach to all these issues. I want people to understand. I think that I could be a voice for the businessman, the truck driver, the person on the street to protect their rights and liberties and their ability to make a living.
I guess the basic difference, the thing that makes me stand out, is that I have experience not only in the business world, because I do, I own a farming business, also in the private business industry with working at the grain elevator. I've also been a part of the education system. Not only does my husband teach, I worked for Southwestern Community College and Central Decatur Community School Districts, preparing people to take their GED exams and teaching them how to read. And in addition to that, I serve on the Wayne County Board of Supervisors. My broad range of experience gives me a vast array of knowledge that I can take into it, so that I can meet those issues head on. I agree. I'm not sure that our legislature did their job. The House passed a lot of good legislation, and it sat at the door of the Senate. That's unfortunate. I agree with Stephen. Regulation needs to be reduced. I believe that the best way for people to succeed, whether it's our economy, whether it's agriculture, whether it's education, is for local governments to have some control back. And because I come from a local government experience, I think I can take that into the realm of the Senate and make some changes there that put the government more local to the people, more responsive to the people.
Now, a lot of the problems that we see at the national level and at the state level appear to me anyway to be that no longer is there any reaching across the aisle. Nobody's interested in working with the other party. In fact, Indiana just rejected a Republican long-term senator as being seen as he reached across the aisle to Democrats one too many times. They just voted him out of office. Are we to a point where, that was Richard Lugar, are we to a point where there's no dialogue across the aisle anymore? Would that be your perspective, or are you willing to work with the other side?
I have a proven track record of being able to solve problems regardless of my differences of political opinion. I serve on the Board of Supervisors with two Democrats. We work together to resolve issues, whether it's a budget issue or whether it's a resolution that we need to find to enact locally. We work together to solve problems. I believe that has to happen without compromising on the principles of right and wrong that I spoke of earlier.
Steve.
My opinion is there's a lack of leadership in the Senate, where you have a single one-party rule, where there has been no compromise. where you have a two-vote majority to the Democrats. This has caused Democrats to hold in lockstep with their majority. That's what stopped progress. Now, as I've talked to several legislature members that have gone into retirement or retiring this year, their biggest stain on their record, as far as they were concerned, is that they compromised too much and lost the direction that they were, that they went to the state house to change the direction of the state. We've had a lot of compromise. All you have to do is look at our federal budget. And you mentioned Senator Lugar. He's a good majority of the reason we have, we're at about $14 to $15 trillion debt right now. And it looks like it's never going to stop. People are tired of government living on extra money that they don't exist. The states can't print it. We have to control our budget. We have to stay within the realm of the amount of money that we take in. And we need to take in less because we got tax base as if we were New York City. This isn't New York City.
Let me get this straight. There's going to be no working across the aisle on...
I think that there's absolutely room to work across the aisle with people that have are like-minded. But if party is your only realm, if party politics is in rule, there won't be much working across the aisle. I'm not a strong believer in party politics. I am a strong believer in the right thing to do. It's not always the easy thing to do, but it's always the right thing.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with two candidates for the Iowa Senate seat in District 14, Amy Sinclair and Steve Everly. I often get the opinion that there's a whole lot of people out there that are anti-government, and it's just anti-government, and people are running anti-government. And people forget that our founders actually created a government. Our founding fathers that they refer to created a government. It was all about self-government. How do we find the right role for government at the state level?
I think to find the right role for government, whether it's at the local level, the state level, or the national level, is to make sure we're referencing back to the founding of the nation. The Constitution was written to define and limit the role of government in the lives of people. I think we need to return to that. The Constitution does not give broad authority to the federal government or the state government for a specific purpose, and that purpose is self-governance. People need to govern their own lives first of all, and then we won't need government to do the job for us. So I believe if we return to those concepts of a limited government and let people work within their own abilities to make things happen, our economy will improve, our education system will improve. Keep the government as local to the people as possible, because those are the people who are governing.
You know, we forget the fact it's we the people. It's not the government versus us. They govern with the permission of the governed. Government forgets that they are not the end all of everything. It's the individual. It's the citizen. The citizen should be, that's why when you have issues like we have today where the citizen is afraid of his government, then you have tyranny. Where the government fears its citizens, you have liberty. We have lost the ability to control government, and now government is controlling us. We need government. You need highways. You need bridges. You need commerce. You need law enforcement. But you also need the freedom of an individual to live your life without the appendage of government.
So what's the most egregious examples of Iowa state government overreach that you can mention to me?
I have so many, it's hard to manage. Right now, it has been my opinion, and what I've been told is the elimination of small towns. We are discussing through the DNR the elimination or the great restriction of septic tanks. So every rural Iowan may end up with no ability to live, unless you're in a major metropolitan area, with a sewer system. We are moving in that direction. The EPA, the federal EPA, and now the state DOT, they are putting their heavy hand of government, and they call it for water quality issues, and we don't know how far this will go.
On the state level, I think one of the most egregious overreaches that I've witnessed that in recent history is the licensing and inspection for electrical contractors. And I say this not because I don't believe that we ought to have people knowledgeable of electrical service doing those jobs, but I see my in-law's house burned 3 years ago. And in rebuilding, they just started over, in rebuilding that home, they had a licensed electrician come in and wire the home because that's what was necessary. But in that process, we not only had to have a licensed electrician wire this home, we also had to have a second licensed electrician employed by the state of Iowa come in and inspect the work of the first licensed electrician. They made changes that the first licensed electrician was required to do, and then nothing in the kitchen worked. It is an unnecessary level of government that individuals, that businesses, that farmers, that property owners are having to pay for, and it is unnecessary to have duplicated layers of bureaucracy.
Now, when I was a kid growing up, we had one of the best educational systems in the nation. Now we're middle of the pack. How do we get back to one of the best educational systems in the nation?
The first place to start is to return schools, return the educational system to local control. You're hearing that a lot out of me, but I believe so strongly that people who are local to the governed are the most responsible to them. And so to improve education, your first step is to make sure that your local school boards have an adequate ability to govern their local schools. They're elected to that position to do that job. Secondly, I believe strongly in putting the best teachers in the classrooms, and that starts in the process of educating those teachers. That starts when those teachers are being prepared to become teachers themselves. There needs to be a system that identifies the best. A lot of people say the best and the brightest, but sometimes the brightest are not the best teachers. I would not make a good teacher. I would struggle to convey a message. But we need to have a system of making sure that people who go into education as a career are the best. You don't just let anybody into med school. We ought not just let anybody into the educational training field. Third, I believe in accountability, and not just for teachers, though I believe that's important. Teachers must be accountable for doing their jobs. Everyone must be accountable for doing their jobs. But we also need to pull in students and their parents in the process of accountability. And whether that's through retention that's been discussed, I don't know that that's your best answer, but we need to have some system of accountability for the students and the parents, because quite honestly, the kids spend 6 hours a day with a teacher and they spend the other 18 with someone else. And so those someone else's, whether it's parents or grandparents, they also need to have buy-in and be accountable for the education of the child.
One of the issues with the public educational system is that methods of teaching. And when my children went through it, we called it whole language. When I went through it, they called it picture word. We have new ideas, new processes that is ordered and directed by the Board of Education, and school boards have no control. School boards have less than 20% of their budget they have any control over how it's spent. They have no individual control over the curriculum of their schools or the books that are on the shelf. All these decisions are made at the state level. With these, the individuals feel that they are totally removed from the school. Parents have no control in their local level, and they are frustrated. When I had special needs children, I have been to the school boards, to superintendents, principals, trying to fight for my kids and the help that they needed. Right now, we have 20 to 30% of all the kids end up in special ed so that the school gets more money. There isn't, in some areas, special ed is great. In other areas, it's just a babysitting service.
You two have very common perspectives on a lot of things. What do you think you might not share the same perspective on? Do you have any idea, any thoughts why you two might be different that our listening audience might be interested in?
Personally, the only thing that many of the issues I agree with Amy on. We talked prior to the starting down this path. The difference I offer, I am a citizen. I want to be a citizen legislator. I don't want to be a professional at this. I expect to do one term, possibly two at the very most. I have built-in term limits. I'm 61 years old. I have been a hard-nosed businessman my entire life. I have been fighting the state and the system for well over 30 years. I know the battles I'm going to face, and I know the difficulties. But I am not shy at going after them.
Amy, can you think of differences?
I'm not sure that's an identified difference because I also believe in being a citizen legislator. I believe that I'm involved in local government because I believe we need to self-govern. A difference I would see is that I have an energy and a passion that go beyond this into the realm of my children and into the realm of the property that I own. I have vested interest in making sure that government is good government. And I believe that my energy and my passion for that is the primary difference that you'll see. I will work hard to make sure that Iowa stays the best place we can possibly raise our kids and families.
First day in office, should you get elected, what's on your plate? Give me 30 seconds to a minute.
Look for a coalition of like-minded senators that we can caucus together as a group and to get something accomplished. You get things accomplished by bringing like-minded people into a group and making it work as a group. You need a force of numbers. You also need a point man, a leader. I would be that person. And I want to bring people to my perspective. A leader draws people to himself with his ideas. That's what I expect to do.
My first day in office, I will focus on the things that are important to Iowa. I will begin work on education reform, on property tax reform, and I will begin the process of finalizing the mental health reform that was started this year that I see some real issues with.
So make your final pitch. Why should the people of Marion County and beyond vote for Amy Sinclair?
People of Marion County and beyond should vote for Amy Sinclair because I have a proven track record of leadership. I'm invested in agriculture, which is the backbone of our district's economy. I understand the role of government in the lives of citizens, and I will work harder than anyone else to be sure that your voice is heard in the Iowa Senate.
Steve, your final pitch. Why should people vote for Steve Everly?
People should vote for me because I know what it takes to make jobs work, to bring business and industry to Iowa. We are a farm-based economy, but we need to diversify because farm-based economy, the working class force is shrinking. We need industrial applications. In Marion County, we got Vermeer's, we got Pellicorp, we have Weiler Industries. I have worked diligently with every one of these organizations in the last 30 years as an employee and as an electrical contractor. I know the problems they face, and I'm willing to make it priority one to increase employment in Iowa so that we have a better standard of living.
Thanks to Amy Sinclair and Steve Everly for contributing to the program. Tune in tomorrow for an interview with the third candidate for the seat, Stephanie Jones. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.